Hello and welcome to this Microsoft TechNet session on scripting virtual server. My name is Aaron Clutter. Let's start the session by going into more detail on the topics we'll be covering. We'll begin our discussion with an overview of scripting. We'll discuss the benefits of scripting, scenarios that will utilize scripting, and requirements for scripting in Windows. Also, we'll mention different scripting tools that can be used. Next, we'll go into detail on different scripts that can be used in virtualized environments. This will include disk and network management, virtual server management, security and access, and client information. Finally, we'll discuss scripting with Microsoft Operations Manager 2005, or MOM. We'll show how MOM can be utilized for scripting on virtual machines and used as an automation resource based on events or alerts. As with most TechNet sessions, some prior experience of Microsoft technologies or similar technologies is always helpful. Here's a brief overview of what would be helpful, but not essential, for this session. As we go through today's session, you'll hear various Microsoft acronyms and terminology. While we will explain all new terms related to today's session, there are some general terms from the industry or from other versions of Microsoft products that we may not spend time on. To help you out, we have listed the areas that may be helpful to be familiar with, either prior to this session or to reference afterwards. You should have experience supporting Windows servers, including Windows Server Management and typical maintenance tasks. You should have experience supporting Microsoft domain networks. And you should be familiar with virtualization and virtual machines, such as Microsoft Virtual PC 2004 or Microsoft Virtual Server 2005. Finally, you should have a general familiarity with scripting, WScript, WMI, and scripting engines. To cover the topics mentioned and keep the session flow going, we've divided the session up into the following agenda items. We'll begin the session with an overview of scripting in Windows. Next, we'll discuss the use of scripting to remotely maintain virtual machines. Finally, we'll go into detail on how scripting can enhance and support MOM 2005. Virtual Server 2005 has several components and features that can be managed with scripting. Virtual Server implements this support through Component Object Model, or COM, technology. The COM interface and procedures have been built into Virtual Server and can be used to access any virtual machine and almost all virtual server configuration settings. Various scripting languages that can connect to automation objects will work with Virtual Server. Windows includes built-in support for Microsoft Visual Basic Scripting Edition, or VBScript, and Microsoft JScript development software. With non-Microsoft software, you can use other scripting languages as well. Automation does not need to be in the form of scripts, however. You can manage Virtual Server by using programming languages such as C, C++, and C#. Scripts are executed with Windows Script Host, the standard Windows operating system scripting environment. You can use any script program that Windows Script Host is capable of executing by using the syntax script_program and script_name. Windows scripting is ideal for a variety of scenarios. First, scripting provides convenient, simple automation. If you aren't heavily experienced in the programming field, scripting and simple automation through virtualization is flexible and easy to learn with a simple object model. Next, scripting allows the developer or scripter to become the end user. Scripting can be conducted to offer various functions to the virtual end user that may vary anywhere from startup or shutdown to generating system checks. By using scripting, the user will not need to physically conduct operations at the computer, as was required in the past. Now all actions can be generated from the host machine. Scripting allows operations to be conducted on demand. For example, let's say a developer or tester needs to run a daily test on a certain computer. He or she can generate a script that will allow the test to be conducted at a specified time and location. Rather than manually running the test, he or she can design a command that would allow the operation to be conducted without being personally involved. Finally, Windows scripting can be used as an automation script for management systems such as MOM 2005, the Virtual Server Management Pack, and other virtualization management software. Users who want to generate scripts in the virtual environment don't need Microsoft Visual Studio experience. Let's take a look at some of the system requirements that are necessary for scripting. Windows XP and Windows Server 2003 include a number of useful new classes, properties, and methods. Whenever possible, run the most recent versions of WSH and VBScript, version 5.6 build 8515, both of which are included in the Windows Script download area on MSDN. This download is available for Microsoft Windows XP, Windows 2000, Windows Millennium Edition, Windows NT Server 4.0, and Windows 98. The versions of WMI and Active Directory Service Interfaces, or ADSI, depend on the operating system that a computer is running. Microsoft Windows Millennium Edition and later versions of the operating system all include WMI. For Windows NT Server 4.0 and Windows 98, you can download WMI version 1.5 from MSDN. For Windows NT Server 4.0 and Windows 98, you can download Active Directory client extensions from MSDN, which allow these operating systems to function as Active Directory clients. There are also a number of security requirements that will need to be addressed. Many scripting errors are generated when a script is trying to do something that a user doesn't have the right to do. Due to these conflicts, it is recommended that you understand a little about the security context needed to run your scripts. To run scripts, either locally or remotely, you must first be logged onto your workstation as a member of the local administrators group. To run a WMI script on a remote computer, there must be an account on the remote computer with the same username and password as the local account under which the script is run. Also, this remote account must be a member of its local administrators group. On Windows XP and Windows Server 2003, WMI does not allow this account to have a blank password. Although WMI on Windows 2000 and earlier Windows operating systems does not enforce this requirement, a blank password on an administrative account would create serious security vulnerabilities, so use a strong password on all platforms. To run a script on remote computers that are members of a domain, the best approach is to use domain-based credentials. If you need to run a script on other computers under a different account, you can use the Connect Server method to specify a different username and password. However, Connect Server sends the password over the wire as plain text by default, another obvious security risk. If you want to run scripts remotely on computers running Windows NT 4.0 with an earlier version of WMI than 1.5, you must use different levels of impersonation and authentication from the defaults. Before running WMI scripts on Windows 98 and 95, you must perform special setup procedures to enable those operating systems to accept remote DCOM connections. If you are using ADSI, you need domain-based credentials with sufficient access to perform the tasks in a script on all targeted computers. These will depend on the particular security policies of your Active Directory implementation. For example, if you have the right to reset user passwords, you can run a script that will reset user passwords. If you do not have that right, there's no point in even trying to run a reset password script since it's not going to work. The easiest way to deal with this, of course, is to simply log on as a domain administrator. However, logging on as a domain administrator may also raise security issues. Depending on security policies on your network, it may make more sense to log on as a user without administrative privileges and use the run as command to run scripts using alternative credentials that have administrative privileges. Some built-in tools are generally used when scripting. Cscript.exe is the version of Windows Script Host that enables you to run scripts from the command prompt. Cscript provides command line switches for setting script properties. To use Cscript, type a command line at the command prompt using the proper syntax for Cscript and the following defined terms. Host options enable or disable various Windows Script Host features. Host options are preceded by two slashes. You also need to specify the script name, where it is the name of the script file, complete with extension and any necessary path information. Finally, script options and parameters are passed to the script. Script parameters are preceded by a single slash. Each parameter is optional, however, you cannot specify script options without specifying a script name. If you do not specify parameters, CScript displays the CScript syntax and the valid host parameters. WScript.exe is the version of Windows Script Host that enables you to run scripts from Windows. WScript provides a Windows-based dialog box for setting script properties. Using WScript, you can run scripts under Windows in three ways. First, you can double-click files or icons. These can be files or icons listed in My Computer, Windows Explorer, the Find window, the Start menu, or on the desktop. If you double-click a script file whose extension has not yet been associated with WScript, an Open With dialog box appears, asking which program to use to open the file. Choose WScript and select the Always Use This Program to Open This File checkbox to register WScript as the default application for all files with the same extension as the one you double-clicked. Next, you can enter a script name at the Run command on the Start menu. Click the Start button, click Run, and then enter the full name of the script you want to run, including its file extension and any necessary path information. Finally, you can type wscript.exe followed by a script name at the Run command. Click the Start button, select Run, and type wscript followed by the full name and path of the script you want to run. Another tool that is commonly used is Windows Management Instrumentation. Windows Management Instrumentation, or WMI, makes managing Windows-based computers much more convenient than it has been in the past. WMI provides you with a consistent way to access comprehensive system management information and was designed from the beginning to work across networks. For system administrators managing Windows-based computers, understanding WMI is as important and useful as understanding the Active Directory directory service. WMI provides a consistent model of the managed environment. For each manageable resource, there is a corresponding WMI class. You can think of a WMI class as a succinct description of the properties of a managed resource and the actions that WMI can perform to manage that resource. Consider how you had to manage and monitor Windows-based workstations and servers in the past. You had to use a number of different administrative tools to administer various resources, including disk drives, event logs, files, folders, file systems, network components, operating system settings, and so on. With WMI, instead of learning how to use all of these different administrative tools, you need to learn only how to write scripts that use the WMI scripting library. The scripting library lets you work with WMI classes that correspond to manage resources. After you understand this model and how to make use of it, you can apply what you have learned to manage any resource that has a corresponding WMI class. This is one of the primary benefits of using WMI. WMI conforms to industry standards overseen by the Distributed Management Task Force, or DMTF. The DMTF is an industry organization that works with key technology vendors, including Microsoft and affiliated standards groups, to define interoperable management solutions. The architecture of WMI is based on ideas described in the DMTF Web-Based Enterprise Management, or WBEM, initiative. Using Windows Script Host, or WSH, and Microsoft Visual Basic Scripting Edition, or VBScript, Microsoft JScript, or any scripting language that supports COM automation, for example, ActivePerl from Active State Corporation, you can write WMI scripts that automate the management of several aspects of your enterprise. Let's take a look at a demonstration that discusses configuration for scripting. In the following demonstration, we'll see how to configure our computers and set up permissions to allow scripting in a virtualized environment. Now that we've seen how to configure our computers for scripting, let's see what's next on the agenda. In the next agenda item, we'll discuss various scripts that are available with Virtual Server. First, let's discuss COM API and its role with scripting in Virtual Server. Virtual Server 2005 R2 uses an extensible XML format to enable virtual machine configuration management from external management software. This can be leveraged through the COM API for asset management, automated provisioning and deployment, and more. In addition, the Microsoft System Center product family offers virtualization tools built around resource optimization and virtual machine lifecycle management. Management tools such as MOM offer comprehensive management of virtual machine operating system and applications. Virtual Server provides support for automated control of virtual machines through the COM technology. This utility is designed to use COM objects to control functions within Virtual Server, such as turning on, restarting, and shutting down the virtual machines. Also, the Virtual Server Administration website uses the COM interface for monitoring and controlling the virtual machines. To write Virtual Server automation scripts, administrators can use any scripting language that the Windows scripting host can execute and that can also connect to COM objects. This includes Microsoft Visual Basic, C#, Perl, Java, and most other contemporary development languages. The COM components can also be used by other third-party applications to control the virtual machines. And finally, third-party applications can communicate directly with the COM interface to control the virtual machines without the Virtual Server Administration website. For more information about the automated deployment support in Virtual Server 2005, refer to the documentation available as part of the Virtual Server 2005 installation. Virtual scripting is an ideal tool to use for automation. While the web-based administration tool is fine for setting up a few virtual machines on a few servers, you might want to automate or schedule various options. Fortunately, Virtual Server 2005 supports an API that allows you to script common operations. The object model is documented in the Virtual Server Programmer's Guide, which is installed by default when you install Virtual Server 2005. For example, you can use a simple script to start all of the virtual machines on a local server. The script can loop through the collection of virtual machines, sending a start command to each. Also, you can create full virtual server-based applications easily using COM interoperability in the Microsoft .NET framework. You should note, however, that there are special COM security-related considerations to keep in mind when building an automation application. You can also create command line scripts that run when specific virtual machine events occur. For example, you might want to send a notification when a virtual machine is turned off or when it experiences a low disk space error, either within the guest operating system or outside of it. These options can be set within the script properties of each virtual machine. Now that we have seen an overview of scripting in Virtual Server, let's take a look at some of the available scripts. Through scripting, you can manage disk drives on remote computers. For example, you'll be able to run scripts that can create a floppy image, virtual server dynamic hard disk, and virtual server fixed hard disk. Then you can create a script that will allow you to attach or release a DVD host drive, DVD image, floppy drive, or floppy drive image to a virtual machine. Also, you can add or remove a DVD drive, hard disk connection, or SCSI controller from your virtual machines. If you have unused space on a virtual hard disk, you can generate a script that will compact the disk and remove the extra space. If you want to manage your undo disks, you can use scripting to discard or merge virtual server undo disks. Finally, you can run a script that will list various information on virtual machine DVDs, floppy drives, and SCSI controllers. There are also scripts available that will allow you to list the same information on virtual servers. There are scripts available that assist you with the management of virtual machines. Also available are some sample scripts for managing virtual server, virtual tasks, and individual virtual machines. Management of virtual machines can be more convenient and efficient through scripting. Scripts can be generated that will allow you to create or delete a virtual machine. Also, you can discard the saved state of a virtual machine, as well as installing virtual machine additions. There are scripts that will be able to list various information from your virtual machine. You can run a script that will list such items as guest operating system information and basic virtual machine statistics. There are also scripts available to list keyboard, mouse, parallel port, serial port, and other properties and virtual server task information. There's even a script that returns a virtual machine mouse button status. If you need to make modifications to a virtual machine, there are scripts available to modify virtual machine properties, scheduling parameters, and display dimensions. Also, you can operate your virtual servers remotely using certain scripts. There's a script available that will search for a virtual machine. With other scripts, you can pause, resume, register, unregister, start, or turn off a virtual machine. And finally, you can use scripting to save a virtual machine state or shut down the guest operating system on a virtual machine. Let's take a look at a demonstration that displays some of these scripts that we've mentioned. In the following demonstration, we'll look at some scripts that manage virtual machines and maintain virtual disk drives. As Microsoft Windows becomes a more secure operating system, performing administrative tasks remotely becomes more complex. The underlying architecture of the Windows operating system, which includes capabilities such as multiple user profiles on a single computer, can make remote scripting somewhat more complex. Any kind of remote scripting typically requires you to navigate through a few security elements. Before you begin scripting on virtual machines, you'll need to configure the user rights. So first, let's go into Component Services to set up our virtual server permissions. The first permission issue you'll run into is when your script tries to represent the DCOM object. Permissions are governed by the Windows Component Services security layer, which can be configured through the Component Services console. These permissions can be left at their default settings, or they can be customized. Customizing the launch permissions allows you to see what DCOM can control. DCOM can be configured with permissions that control a local launch or a remote launch. You can configure similar permissions for activation. The account you're using to run your script must have remote launch and activation permissions. This can be difficult on a standalone computer or one that isn't a member of a domain because your script might not be able to provide the necessary credentials to obtain remote launch and activation permissions on the object. You can also configure permissions to control access to the DCOM object after it has been started and activated. By default, only the local administrators group can be assured of having the necessary permissions, although you can reconfigure the permissions as needed. These are only the permissions necessary to begin on the remote computer. After the DCOM object is up and running, you still need other permissions to perform the remote scripting. We've already talked about the permission necessary to connect to the virtual machine technologies and services. After you are connected, however, you'll need the proper permissions to perform whatever task your script is trying to perform. Almost every area of Windows has its own unique security layer. For example, files and folders utilizing TFS permissions. If you're logged onto your computer using a user domain account, and you connect to a shared folder on a remote computer in the same domain, you'll only be able to access the files and folders to which that user account has permission. In order to run scripts on the virtual machine, we'll need to configure the script settings. Let's go ahead and configure our scripting properties. The checkbox in the script properties for this server has not been selected, which indicates that scripting on this computer is currently disabled and won't be able to operate any scripts that you attach to it. In order to run scripts, we need to set up our computer to be operated under the administrator user account. The administrator account will have the necessary permissions, ones that a common user won't have, to conduct the scripting functions that you'll be using today. Now that we have our first application computer set up to run as an administrator, we'll do the same thing with our second application computer. As with the first computer, we'll enter the administrator username and password to put the change into effect. Next, we need to enable scripting on our virtual machines. At this time, our application computer is configured to disable scripts on the virtual machine. We'll need to have this enabled in order to use scripting. To do this, we'll go into the server properties. The server properties page indicates that scripts are currently disabled. Let's go ahead and change the setting to reflect enabled. First, we'll enable scripts attached to the server. Then we can enable scripts attached to the virtual machines on the server. Now we can go back into our application server configuration and see that scripts are enabled. We can begin scripting our virtual machines. Now that we've seen a demonstration on some virtual machine scripts, let's take a look at some scripts for virtual networks. There are some sample scripts available for managing virtual server virtual networks. With scripting, you can create and delete a virtual network, search for a virtual network, and list all virtual networks. Also available are scripts that pertain to DHCP. You can script a list of virtual DHCP server information and modify DHCP lease times. Scripts can modify a virtual network property and register or unregister a virtual network. There are scripts available that can add a network adapter to virtual machines and attach a virtual network to a virtual network adapter. And finally, you can use a script to delete all virtual machine network adapters, detach network adapter from a virtual machine, and list network adapter information for all virtual machines. There are also some scripts that assist with access rights and security. There are also some sample scripts available for managing virtual server security settings and access permissions. For example, if you wanted to know a specific user's access rights, you could run a script that listed the virtual server access rights for that user. There's a script available that lists a virtual server's access rights as well. Next, if you needed to display a specific security for a certain user on a virtual machine, there is a script that allows you to locate the security entry for a virtual server by that user's name on the specific virtual machine. Finally, a script is available that locates virtual server access rights for a specified group. For example, you could generate the script to discover the access rights of the administrator group on a certain virtual server. There are also some scripts for virtual machine clients. Some sample scripts allow you to manage virtual server clients. If you wanted to remotely conduct an operation on a virtual machine, you could run a script that would allow you to access the virtual machine and conduct these operations. Then, with scripting, you could click a mouse button or press a keyboard key in that virtual machine. There's a script available that will allow you to type an ASCII text string in the virtual machine. There are also scripts available that can list various information about your virtual server. There's a script that lists connection information for the virtual server client control. And you can run a script that lists virtual server client control properties. Finally, a script is available that lists virtual server VMRC authenticators. Let's take a look at some of these scripts in action with our next demonstration. In the following demonstration, we'll take a look at some scripts in action that are available to use with virtual machines. Many of the scripts used in the following examples are either taken directly from the Microsoft Script Repository or are based on scripts found there. The script repository categorizes sample scripts designed to run on Windows 2000, Windows XP, and Windows Server 2003. The scripts used in this demonstration are all written using VBScript. You can find the script repository at www.microsoft.com/technet/scriptcenter. Let's start out by examining several scripts related to virtual hard disk functionality. While we're only going to examine three sample scripts, you can find many more at the script repository. Our first example script, diskscript1.vbs, lists hard disk connection information for all the virtual machines on a computer. Let's walk through this script and see how it works. First, there is the createObject function. It creates and returns a reference to a COM object. In this case, we are creating a reference called objvs to a virtual server application. After we create the reference to our virtual server, we then create a collection of all the virtual machines called colvms. Now that we have our collection of virtual machines, we want to loop through all the virtual machines in the collection one at a time. As we loop through each existing virtual machine, we want to create a collection of the current virtual machine's hard drive connections. This collection is called COL Hard Disk Connections. We can now loop through the collection of hard disk connections for the current virtual machine. And finally, we see a series of wscript.echo commands that will display information about the hard drive connection. Now that you've seen how the script is put together, let's see it in action. We'll run the script using the cscript.exe. cscript.exe is a command line version of the Windows script host that provides command line options for setting script properties. You can see that SEA-APP-01 server has one hard drive attached to it. You can also see other information that was gathered, such as the hard disk file, size in the guest operating system, and the size on the host. You can also see that SEA-APP-02 is listed and shows only one hard drive. Let's look at another example script. In this next script, we'll create a new virtual server dynamic hard disk. As was the case in the previous script, we'll start out by creating a reference to the virtual server application. The create dynamic virtual hard disk function requires two parameters. The first parameter is the name and location of the new hard disk that will be created. The second parameter of this function is the size, in megabytes, of the hard drive. In this example, we are creating a hard drive called scripted_harddisk.vhd that is 200 megabytes in size. Remember that this is a dynamic hard disk, so the physical space used will be variable in size with a maximum of 200 megabytes. This time, let's run our script using wscript.exe. wscript.exe is the version of Windows script host that enables you to run scripts from Windows. wscript provides a Windows-based dialog box for setting script properties. Using wscript, you can run scripts under Windows in several ways. First, you can enter a script name at the Run command on the Start menu. Click the Start menu button, click Run, and then enter the full name of the script that you want to run, including its file extension and any necessary path information. Second, At the command prompt, you can type wscript.exe followed by a script name, similar to how we used cscript.exe. And finally, you can double-click files or icons listed in My Computer, Windows Explorer, the Find window, the Start menu, or on the desktop. When we run the script, the file scripted_harddisk.vhd is created. Now that we have created a virtual hard disk, let's attach it to a virtual server. In the first line, as before, we're creating a reference to the virtual server application. Using this reference, we can then create another reference to the virtual server we want to attach the hard drive to. Finally, with this reference, we call the function addHardDiskConnection to attach the hard disk we created to the virtual server. The addHardDiskConnection has four parameters. The first parameter is the full path specifying the virtual hard disk file to connect, followed by the bus to attach the hard drive to, followed by the bus number to attach the hard disk to, and finally the device number to attach the hard disk to. The return value is a new VM hard disk connection object. You can only add a new hard disk connection to a stopped virtual machine. Now, when we run this script using wscript.exe, no error is displayed. However, to confirm that the operation was successful, we can run diskscript1.vbs and check to make sure that the hard drive was successfully attached to the virtual server. Now let's examine some sample scripts for managing virtual server, virtual tasks, and individual virtual machines. First, we'll start up the virtual machines using a modified script from the script repository. The findVirtualMachine method returns a virtual machine object matching the requested configuration. In this script, we request two virtual machine objects, one for SEA app01 and one for SEA app02. The startup method starts up the virtual machine. Using wscript to run the script, we'll start up both servers. And as we can see in the recent events on the Virtual Server Administration website, both virtual servers were successfully started. Another script found on the script repository will list the guest operating system information for a virtual machine matching a specific name. In this case, the name we'll use is SEA app01. When we run this script at the command prompt, as expected, it shows the virtual server information. Let's edit the script to show information for all virtual servers on the virtual server host. First, we want to change the script so that it is no longer finding information for just one virtual machine, but rather all virtual machines. We'll use a collection called colvm. Next, we want to create a loop that will display the virtual server information for each virtual server in our collection. And finally, we'll end our loop. We need to save the changes before we can run the new script. As expected, the script now shows information for both application servers. Now that we've seen a demonstration on scripts that can be used on virtual machines, let's see what's next on the agenda. In the next agenda item, we'll show you how to use Microsoft Operations Manager as a scripting tool with virtual machines. Let's briefly review the Microsoft Operations Manager. MOM 2005 provides operational monitoring of server environments that support WMI. MOM is a scalable, distributed monitoring solution. Agents can be deployed automatically or manually onto managed computers in order to collect data, watch for events, and execute response actions. Agents retrieve data, including event logs and performance counters, through various providers. Collected data is forwarded to the MOM server for storage in the central SQL Server database. Administrators have at their disposal an MMC console for defining rules, events, and actions. System operators can use a Windows Forms-based application for browsing through collected data and resolving or escalating alerts. An important part of MOM is a data store called the System Center Data Warehouse, or SCDW. This is a classic star schema database that may be periodically loaded with data from an operational database using SQL Server 2000 Data Transformation Services, or DTS, technology. Collected data may be accessed and visualized using a variety of tools, such as SQL Server 2000 reporting services. Note that MOM 2005 Workgroup Edition does not contain the SCDW. MOM management packs are carefully packaged expertise for a specific product or technology, such as Active Directory, Exchange Server, SQL Server, and many others. Lists of management packs available from Microsoft and other providers can be found in the Management Pack and Product Connector. From a technical point of view, a management pack is nothing more than a collection of rules, scripts, operator console views, and data warehouse reports. The real value of a management pack is its contained knowledge. The majority of management packs are created by the developers of the particular product. According to the common engineering criteria, every new product in the Microsoft Windows Server system family will be accompanied by a management pack at launch time. MOM scripts offer some differences than what is offered in Windows Host. When you learn how to write a script in Windows, you invariably start with Windows Script Host, or WSH. This is logical since WSH is flexible, allowing you to execute a script on a command line using a number of different useful technologies such as ADC and WMI. What happens, however, is that we might start to assume that WSH is synonymous with scripting and that it's the only scripting environment in town. Both WSH and MOM are scripting environments. Both work against the same scripting services in Windows. Both can run scripts written in VBScript, JScript, or any other scripting language you have loaded onto the computer executing the script. It's no coincidence that WSH and MOM work so similarly. They're working against identical objects. These objects are doing most of the work. As a result, they can both run almost identical scripts without modification. In addition, WSH automatically provides the WScript object to represent the script host itself and provides some core functionality specific to WSH scripts. Other scripting environments won't have access to the WScript object, but they'll probably provide something similar. MOM and WSH scripts both have access to several common objects. These include ADC, WMI, and any other scriptable object that you're familiar using. The difference is that a MOM script can't use the WScript object. Similarly, WSH can't use the script context object, which is available only in the MOM environment. Another thing to note is that while you can't use WScript itself in MOM, you can use objects created from WScript. Any object that you create in a script using the create object or get object commands will still work. This includes WScript.shell and WScript.network. These objects are considered a logical part of the script host, but they are separate from the WScript object itself and can be used in any other Windows scripting environment like MOM. Finally, if an object can be used in a script without first creating it with createObject or getObject, then it will be available to only a single scripting environment. However, if the object is created with createObject or getObject, then it will be available to any scripting environment that leverages Windows Script technologies. Basically, the only change you'll most likely have to make to any WSH script is to remove any use of the WScript object. Unfortunately, all of the WScript.echo commands that are available in the Script Center cannot be used. You also won't be receiving arguments with the WScript.arguments, nor will the name of the script be returned with WScript.scriptName. With MOM scripting, you will generally use a utility called ScriptContext. You probably won't write a single MOM script that doesn't have script context in it, so it's important that you understand what it provides. Script context can be considered the functional equivalent of WScript and has some common methods. It has the equivalent primary function of WScript, where it provides access to the MOM scripting environment and offers functions that are unique to MOM. Rather than being executed by an interactive user, MOM scripts are typically executed in some automated fashion, such as on a scheduled basis or in response to an event on a remote computer somewhere. A MOM script can't simply send its output back to the screen, but must somehow report it through the MOM workflow engine. Script context gives us methods to do that. The most common use for scripting in MOM is with the use of events or alerts. At a high level, there are two strategies for performing this function. First, you can issue an alert directly from the script using the scriptContext.createAlert. Second, you can have the script generate an event with scriptContext.createEvent and rely on a rule to detect that event and generate an alert. While it may seem like the more complex approach, having the script generate an event is generally the recommended approach. The first reason is that you are limiting the amount of logic being performed in the script. Ideally, the script should be no more complex than necessary. It should simply perform any required actions, collect any required data, and then return what is found without making any attempt to interpret the data. When you generate an alert, you are interpreting the results of collected data. This includes determining whether the information is important enough to generate an alert, and then the severity level of the alert. Interpretation of data is generally performed by processing rules in MOM. The best strategy is to have your script create an event with a unique event code for each type of output that it may generate. Then you can create a processing rule to look for each event code and generate an appropriate alert. If that logic changes, you can change it without having to modify the script. Therefore, it's much easier to modify a rule than a script. The other reason for this strategy is that it makes your scripts more flexible. For example, let's say that we ran a script that collects the size of a file as performance data. This script might be created in response to a requirement to detect whether a particular file exceeded a given size. This would often be implemented by checking the value of the file size against a specified size and then immediately generating an alert if the size were exceeded. The problem with this implementation is that it would lock the script into that specific scenario. If implemented to create events rather than to generate alerts, the simple script could be for multiple scenarios, tracking the size of a file, reporting if a file exceeded a particular size, or even reporting if a file is less than a certain size. One script could be leveraged for a variety of scenarios, as opposed to creating a new script for different requirements. Now that we have discussed the use of scripting with MOM, let's look at a demonstration that shows MOM scripts in action. In the following demonstration, we'll show how to use scripts that utilize scripting based on an alert and event. So far, we've seen scripts that help you with tasks relating to virtual disk drives, as well as scripts that help you manage virtual servers, virtual tasks, and individual virtual machines. Now we'll see some scripts that will help with managing virtual server virtual networks. This script will list network adapters for all the virtual machines on a computer. Most of this script should be familiar by now. A reference to the virtual server application is created, and then we loop through all the virtual machines in the virtual server application. We're looping through the network adapters in each virtual machine and then displaying some information about the adapter. As expected, this script lists the network adapters for all the virtual machines. Let's look at a more complex script. So far, we've seen many small, simple scripts. However, in this next script, you'll see just how useful, powerful, and efficient they can be. For example, if we're trying to set up a virtual server host at a branch office, we could use several scripts to streamline the task. First, we could use one script to create the new virtual machines on the host, and then we could use this script to add network adapters to each virtual machine, and then set up the network. The first step is to add adapters to all the virtual machines. The line for each OBJVM in COLVM loops through each virtual machines on the virtual server and calls the method add network adapter. Next, after each virtual machine has a network adapter, the virtual network is created. In this case, it is simply called scripted network. And the location for the configuration file will be with the rest of our demo images. Finally, we want to attach the newly created network to the network adapters on all the virtual machines. By default, the adapter of the virtual network is set for guest-only networking, which isolates the virtual machine from the network. Use the hostAdapter method to change the adapter for this virtual network. The name must be unique with respect to the names of any other existing virtual networks. Virtual network names are case insensitive. For example, capital My capital network typed with the initial capital letters and My network typed in all lowercase refer to the same virtual network. The script repository also contains several sample scripts for managing virtual server security settings and access permissions. The security interface manipulates the access rights of an object in the virtual server. This method will return the access rights for the caller of the comm interface. The access rights interface has the following properties: change permissions, delete access, execute access, flags, name, read access, read permission, SID, special access, type, and write access. For more information, go to msdn.microsoft.com. For remote management of virtual machines, Virtual Server 2005 provides a Virtual Machine Remote Control, or VMRC, client. This standalone client application communicates with the VMRC server component of the virtual server service. In this script, we are creating a reference to the VMRC client ActiveX control. We're getting this error message because the ActiveX control has not yet been installed. The first time you attempt to use a virtual machine through the Virtual Server Administration website, it will automatically install the VMRC ActiveX component. Make sure your browser meets the requirements. The Virtual Machine Remote Control uses an ActiveX control that requires Microsoft Internet Explorer 5.5 or later. The warning dialog box that appears tells us which Virtual Server VMRC ActiveX client control must be installed in order to use virtual servers remotely. Once the Virtual Server VMRC ActiveX client control is successfully installed, you can use the virtual machines. Now that the Virtual Server VMRC ActiveX client control is installed, the script can successfully run, and we get the expected result. Let's review what we've covered in this session. With scripting, you can obtain higher performance by maintaining virtual machines through automation. Rather than physically making adjustments to each virtual machine within your environment, you can utilize scripting to conduct the same operation several times in one step. Also, Virtual Server 2005 has been developed to be fully manageable by using scripting. With the ability to consolidate through Virtual Server 2005, it is important to be able to control Virtual Server and its virtual machines through scripting. Microsoft Script Repository has available several extremely useful scripts that will create greater ease of use when managing your virtual environment. The TechNet Script Repository provides a reference when you need assistance in generating a script that will conduct an operation that can range from virtual hardware maintenance to remote management. Finally, MOM scripts can be referenced to those written for Windows Script Host, so administrators can leverage the large amount of knowledge and materials already invested on scripts for the Windows Script Host. MOM provides a delivery and data collection engine that Windows Script Host cannot provide. A script in MOM that is running at regular intervals or in response to a defined event in your environment offers more productivity than a script that can be only executed interactively from a command line. By understanding scripts in MOM, you can open up a complete library of sample code and leverage existing skills in providing custom management solutions. To get more information on the products and technologies we have covered today, we have some online resources available that can help. For the most comprehensive technical information on Microsoft products, visit the TechNet website at www.microsoft.com/TechNet. In addition, visit www.microsoft.com/technet/add-64 for more information on books, courses, certifications, and other community resources that relate directly to this particular session. There are a number of other resources that are available from Microsoft. The Rational Guide to Scripting Microsoft Virtual Server 2005 shows how to use scripting to automate complex virtual environments. The Rational Guide to Managing Microsoft Virtual Server 2005 discusses the benefits of virtualization technology and covers the essentials of working with Virtual Server 2005. Virtualization with Microsoft Virtual Server 2005 includes sample forms and templates and delivers several physical to virtual migration strategies, which will save both time and costs. There's also an assessment program available that can help you test your knowledge. Microsoft Skills Assessment is a free online learning tool. It's an easy way for IT professionals to check their skills. You can quickly check your skills in implementing or managing Microsoft products or business solutions. Just take a short 30-question assessment and see how well you know your stuff. The skills assessment includes a personalized learning plan, which includes links to Microsoft official curriculum, specific TechNet articles, Microsoft Press books, and other Microsoft learning content. There's also a way to measure how well you did compared with others who took the same assessment. Microsoft Skills Assessment is an expanding learning platform. Available now are assessments for Windows Server 2003, including Security and Patch Management, Exchange Server 2003, Windows Storage Server, Office 2003, and VisualStudio.net. If you want to take your skills assessment to the next level, a number of certification programs are available. In the highly competitive IT job market, how can you set yourself apart from the next candidate? The Microsoft Certification Program provides that edge. Earning a specific accreditation provides objective validation of the ability to successfully perform critical IT functions. Embraced by industry professionals worldwide, Microsoft certification remains one of the most effective ways to reach long-term career goals and is a surefire way for companies to develop and retain valuable IT staff. There are a number of accreditations available, starting with the basic Microsoft Certified Professional, or MCP. You can become a fully certified System Administrator, or MCSA, Systems Engineer, MCSE, or a Desktop Specialist, MCDST. Away from the infrastructure side, the MCDBA certification covers the SQL Server products. For more information about the certification programs, visit www.microsoft.com/learning/MCP. This session was brought to you by TechNet. TechNet has gone through some changes recently, which you might find interesting. To help explain this in more detail, I'd like to introduce Carolyn McGrath, TechNet Relationship Marketing Manager.
For IT professionals, all the resources in the TechNet program will give you the support you need to be successful with our technology. Whether you are deploying new software, managing a server environment, or troubleshooting, TechNet has a resource for you. Use the web for immediate access to documentation, knowledge base, scripts, downloads, and more. Webcasts and events will give you deep insight into specific technology topics. Keep up to date with technology news using the TechNet Flash. This is a twice-monthly newsletter that you can customize to give you information about the specific technology that interests you. With more time to read, the TechNet magazine is an excellent resource offering in-depth articles written by industry-leading technologists. If you want to ensure that you have all of the essential resources at your fingertips, the TechNet subscription is for you. It includes full version software and betas so that you can evaluate our technology at your own pace. No time bombs, so your product analysis won't time out. It includes two complimentary telephone support incidents. Talk to Microsoft technical professionals to help you with whatever challenges you may encounter with the software. That is $500 worth of value. The TechNet subscription is a great value to all IT professionals. Finally, we have TechNet VLabs. Use this to get your hands on the technology in a hosted environment. You can explore how it works, run different scenarios, and have a full product experience without having to dedicate your time to deploy and manage the hardware to do so yourself. Overall, the TechNet program has all of the resources you need to get the most out of Microsoft technology. TechNet Plus subscription. What is it? Get hands-on experience with the technology through software and betas, including Office, Windows, and servers. Support when you need it, including two free telephone support incidents. Easy access to information via updates, utilities, white papers, knowledge base, and more. Work on your skills at your own pace. E-learning courses and training. The TechNet Plus subscription. That's what it is. Need support? Answers are standing by. You have a choice of three support offerings from Microsoft. Firstly, we have online and self-help. Choose from the TechNet website, the Security Center Online, Knowledge Base, Product Support Centers, the TechNet Script Center, News Groups, User Groups, and the TechNet Plus subscription. Secondly, we have assisted incidents. Assisted incidents include email support, phone support, phone support contracts, advisory services. Finally, contract-based support. Contract-based support is offered to organizations and consists of premier support or essential support. Thank you for listening to this TechNet session.